Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back. Okay, so if you're someone maybe like me sometimes who has this amazing idea just sitting there in a file probably called phase one planning, right? Then this deep dive is definitely for you.
Yeah, the eternal planning phase.
Exactly. We're going to try and tear apart that modern myth, you know, the one that says you need everything perfect before you start anything.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we're digging into Raj Shamani's really powerful book, Build, Don't Talk, Things You Wish You Were Taught in School.
Yeah.
Okay, Luff, unpack this core idea right away. What's the big deal here?
Well, it's incredibly relevant, I think. Mm-hmm. We live in this age of, well, analysis paralysis, as they call it. Just completely overwhelmed by information.
Sure, sure, sure. Endless podcasts, courses.
And blueprints for everything. But instead of leading to action, all this information, it often just traps people. You get stuck planning forever.
Yeah.
So, Shamani's mission is pretty simple. He positions execution, you know, the actual, sometimes messy, tangible act of doing something, as the single key thing that makes a difference today.
The differentiator.
Exactly. He argues the market rewards the builders, the people actually making stuff, not just the, you know, the chronic thinkers or planners.
It sounds like the ultimate antidote to procrastination, but wrapped up in like a strategy guide.
Pretty much.
But before we dive into the strategy itself, who is Raj Shamani? Who's the voice behind this this really urgent message?
So Raj Shamani is a young Indian entrepreneur, big content creator, angel investor too, has a massive digital reach.
Okay.
But his authority, it doesn't really come from theory.
You know,
it's rooted deep in his own experience. And the really fascinating detail, I think, is that he started his whole entrepreneurial journey at 16.
16, wow.
Yeah, and not with some fancy app, but with a dishwashing liquid business with his dad.
Dishwashing liquid, seriously.
Yeah, yep. And that kind of grounded, practical start, actually moving a physical product from just an idea to being on a shelf, that's like the bedrock of his whole philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
He learned the grit of building by actually dealing with supply chains and stuff, not just PowerPoint slides.
I really appreciate that origin story. It kind of proves his advice isn't just for like tech startups. It scales right down to the most basic business level.
No way.
He's not talking from some ivory tower, you know, someone who had everything handed to them. He's a digital native builder, and mm-hmm. his career is basically, well, it's a documented public case study of his ideas.
Precisely. And if you look at his huge digital footprint, I mean, his podcast, Figuring Out with Raj Shamani, his TEDx talks, he's even spoken at the UN. His entire professional life demonstrates this power of building in public.
Right.
His brand is his business, essentially.
Yeah.
And that brand is built entirely on putting stuff out there consistently. Tangible output.
Yeah.
It's the exact philosophy he preaches in the book.
Okay, so let's get to the core argument then. He wants us to prioritize execution over ideation. Basically, stop talking, start doing.
Yeah. He says the world is just saturated with brilliant ideas. Everyone's got one. But real progress, actual change, that only comes from the tangible act of building something, even if it's imperfect at first.
Especially if it's imperfect at first, maybe.
Maybe. And that message, it's aimed right at the aspiring entrepreneur or the professional, you know, anyone who feels stuck, caught between their ambition and actually taking that first step.
Mm.
He really challenges that traditional kind of slow-moving approach, you know, spending months and months on a super detailed business plan.
Waiting for everything to be perfect.
Exactly. Delaying the launch until every single risk is, like, perfectly managed.
Yep.
It's argues that whole approach is obsolete now. The world moves too fast.
So if that old way is outdated, what's the alternative? What does the builder actually do instead?
Well, the builder adopts a much leaner, iterative approach. The key thing is to create what he calls a minimum viable version, an MVV.
Right. The simplest version.
The simplest, smallest, most functional version of whatever it is you're creating. And then this is crucial. You immediately push it out into the world.
Get it out there.
Yeah. And you use the real world feedback, the actual marketplace data, not just guesses, to guide what you do next, how you iterate. That act of getting real feedback, that's the absolute core difference.
That jump from theory to reality, it sounds simple, but it's powerful. So the book walks us through this shift in like three phases, starting with part one, laying the foundation, which is all about mindset.
Mm-hmm. The mindset.
What are the biggest psychological roadblocks he tackles there? Because that's where most people get stuck, right?
Oh, absolutely. The first one is universal, I think.
Yeah.
The fear of starting.
Yeah. Fear of judgment, maybe. Imposter syndrome.
All that, fear of failure, fear of looking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about using a mental model almost like Mel Robbins' 5-second rule for action.
Oh.
Yeah, the idea is you have to just launch yourself into the work before your rational brain kicks in and starts building up all the doubts and talks you out of it.
Just go.
Just go. It's about conquering that initial, like, internal friction, that resistance we all feel.
But I wonder, does that sudden launch, just jumping in, does that risk burnout if you haven't planned at all?
That's a fair point. And he addresses that with the second big mental shift. He calls it the power of one thing.
Okay.
You manage that risk of spreading yourself too thin, you know, trying to do everything at once, mm-hmm. by identifying the one specific thing you're going to focus on. Really go deep on it.
Like one problem or one audience.
Yeah, or one core skill. You channel all your initial energy right there.
Yeah.
And that intense focus, he argues, is what makes the action sustainable. And overarching all of this is the mantra, start before you're ready.
Yes. Perfection is the enemy of done.
Exactly. Perfection is just procrastination wearing a fancy suit.
I like that. Okay, so that mindset shift leads us right into part two. The core principle, build. This is where he really contrasts the talker and the builder.
Right. This is the heart of it. The talker, he says, gets this false sense of accomplishment just from, you know, discussing their amazing plans.
Oh, yeah. I know people like that.
We all do. They achieve this kind of social reality for their idea without actually doing the hard work. And the problem is that often kills the internal urgency you need to actually execute.
Because it feels like progress.
It feels like progress. But the builder, on the other hand, they create undeniable, tangible proof. Their work literally speaks for itself. It demands attention because it exists in the world.
And the key concept here is building in public. Right?
That's the cornerstone of this whole section, building in public.
Okay, but let's be real for a second. Building in public sounds great for maybe digital creators or software folks, but isn't sharing your messy early stage stuff, isn't that a huge risk? What about the potential shame if you fail publicly?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? And he frames that risk, that potential embarrassment, as sort of necessary friction. A cost of doing business, almost.
Mm-hmm.
He argues that the risk is actually far outweighed by what you gain. He highlights three critical goals you achieve by building in public.
Okay, what are they?
First, accountability.
Yeah.
Simple as that. When you state your intentions out loud, publicly, you're just dramatically more likely to follow through.
Social pressure, basically.
Yeah, positive social pressure.
Yeah.
Second, community building. He makes this great point that people aren't really drawn to sterile perfection. They connect with authentic, messy stories of creation. They actually root for the struggle.
That's true. We love an underdog story.
Exactly. And third, he says it's the most powerful form of authentic marketing there is, because you build real trust and loyalty by inviting people into your journey, warts and all, not just showing them the finished product.
So it transforms failure. Instead of being this devastating dead end, it becomes just necessary public feedback, data points.
Precisely. And that feeds right into the iterative cycle he champions. Build. Share. Get feedback. Improve. Build again. It's a loop.
You're basically using the real world as your, like, ultimate focus group. Constantly.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Mm-hmm.
Which then naturally flows into part three. Scaling your creation. Okay, so you've built something. You've got some early momentum. Now what?
Mm.
The challenge is amplification, growth.
Right. And that's where he introduces the content flywheel framework, recognizing that today attention is basically the new currency.
Mm.
This flywheel idea is how you take that initial build, that thing you made, and turn it into sustained growth, right? Can you walk us through the steps?
Yeah. It's designed as a self-perpetuating system. It starts with create.
Yeah.
You create valuable content based on what you've built, sharing your process, your learnings.
Okay.
That content then attracts an audience, people interested in what you're doing. That audience then engages with you. They comment, ask questions, give feedback, become a community.
So the feedback loop continues.
It continues. And that engagement leads to opportunities to monetize or leverage that built up trust, maybe through products, services, partnerships, whatever fits. But critically, the final step is fuel.
Fuel.
You take the insights, the revenue, the energy you gained, and you reinvest it back into creating even better content or improving your build, which attracts more audience, engages them deeper, and you see how the flywheel starts spinning faster and faster.
It feeds itself. And this is where he draws that really important distinction, isn't it, between just idle talking and strategic communicating.
Yes, that's crucial. You have to communicate, but you must do it from a place of proof, not just potential.
So, Les, I have this brilliant idea for an app.
And more. Here's the app I built. Here's the problem it solves. And hey, here are the results or feedback from the first 100 users. That proof, that tangible reality, is what carries weight.
That weight is influence. Okay, let's step back a bit. If we were to pull out the, say, 4 key themes that really run through the whole book, what would they be?
Good idea. The first one, and maybe the hardest one for people to really internalize, is that action creates clarity, not the other way around.
Right. We're so conditioned to think we need the perfect, crystal clear plan before we move.
It's the biggest barrier. Shamani just insists, stop waiting. The path, the clarity, it only reveals itself once you actually take that first step. You learn more from 1 hour of doing than 20 hours of just thinking about it.
So true. Okay, theme number 2.
It's pretty blunt. Execution is the only differentiator. In a world where ideas are everywhere, they're cheap, basically.
Yeah.
The only real competitive advantage you have left is just consistently doing the work, finishing things, shipping them.
The world rewards finishers, not dreamers with detailed journals.
Exactly. Third theme, which we touched on a lot, is building in public as a modern superpower. That transparency, that authenticity. It builds a kind of trust that you just can't buy with marketing dollars.
It's a different kind of connection. And the final theme.
This one's really key for anyone looking to grow professionally or maybe switch careers. Your work is your best resume.
Yeah. Forget the bullet points on a CV.
Pretty much. A portfolio of actual projects you've built, a documented journey showing your process and your growth that is infinitely more persuasive than just listing credentials. Show, don't just tell.
Absolutely. You know, the book is also packed with these really short, punchy phrases, memorable lines that just kind of stop you in your tracks.
Yeah, he's good at those. They really challenge your habits.
Let's hit a few of those sort of verbal slaps in the face, maybe. What's one that really captures that core value proposition?
Okay, this one hits home for every perfectionist out there, myself included sometimes. The perfect plan executed imperfectly will always outperform the imperfect plan that's never executed.
Oof, yeah.
It just boils down to prioritize getting it done, getting it out there over making it absolutely flawless. Done is better than perfect.
It forces you to actually define what done even means, which is half the battle. Okay, another one.
This one really hammers home the value of execution over just potential. An idea in your head is worth nothing. The dumbest idea that has been executed is worth infinitely more than the most brilliant idea that remains a dream.
Wow. Assigning a zero value to potential without action, that's stark.
It is. It leaves no room for excuses. And maybe one more, which is great for tackling that intimidation factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see super successful people.
Yeah.
Every expert was once a beginner who refused to stop building.
I like that. It demystifies expertise.
Exactly. There's not some magic quality you're born with. It's just the result of persistent, iterative work, showing up day after day, even when it's hard. It gives you permission to start small, be messy, and learn as you go.
Okay, so this is all great in theory. Let's make it super concrete for you, the listener. What are some immediate practical takeaways? How can someone apply this stuff, like today?
Well, let's bring it down to earth. For the aspiring entrepreneur listening, the advice is pretty radical. Shamani would say, forget that 50-page business plan for now.
Seriously. Instead, maybe spend this weekend building a really simple landing page that's your MVP, and then spend next week actually talking to, say, 20 potential customers. Get real feedback. That's building, and it costs almost nothing.
Real market data instead of spreadsheets. Okay, what about for content creators?
For creators, the message is, stop waiting for the perfect gear, the perfect lighting, the perfect script. Just start with the phone you already have.
Use what you've got.
Use what you've got. Commit to publishing consistently, maybe once a week for 3 months. And focus on that iteration cycle. Post. See what works. Tweak. Post again. Don't aim for viral perfection right away. Consistency is what fuels that flywheel.
Makes sense. And finally, for students or professionals maybe looking to level up or change careers.
Build proof. Demonstrate your skills tangibly. If you're learning to code, don't just list courses, contribute to an open source project. If you're studying marketing, offer to run a local shop's social media for a month and document the results.
Build a portfolio.
Build a portfolio of actual work. That becomes your dynamic living CV. Much more powerful. You know, thinking back on all this, the thing that was most surprising or maybe insightful for me was that concept he calls the talk trap.
Oh, no.
Realizing that just talking about your plans can actually reduce your motivation to do them. It sort of tricks your brain. It makes me think the biggest obstacle really isn't external. It's It's internal, that friction of fear and doubt.
I think that's absolutely the profound insight here. And the final lasting message isn't just about tactics. It's about this deep sense of empowerment.
Empowerment. How so?
It comes from recognizing you actually have everything you need to start right now. You don't need permission. You don't need more funding necessarily. You don't need a perfect plan. The big shift is internal, developing that bias for action. Just starting.
Leaning into the doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
The book fundamentally gives you permission to be imperfect.
Yeah.
And honestly, sometimes that's the main thing holding us back. We need that permission slip. So maybe here's the final provocative thought for you listening right now to sort of chew on. What is the absolute smallest, most imperfect thing you could build or start today? Right now.
Yeah.
Just to get your own flywheel spinning, even just a tiny bit.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Accotra Foundation.